What's up, everybody? It's great to be here with you today. Week two of our TechWise family series, and I want to welcome all of our campuses. Those of you who are joining us online, it's great to have you with us today as well. Now, I hope that you took advantage of that opportunity at all of our campuses to look through the Echo Groups booklet and make sure that you get signed up for a group. You got just a little over a week still to sign up for one. You don't want to miss being part of a group this fall, so make sure that you take some time to do that. Now, as we're in this series on tech, talking about tech and talking about family, I had this kind of funny thought earlier as I was thinking about this. Do you remember what these used to be called before they were called cell or mobile phones? No, they weren't smartphones. They were car phones. You remember why they were called car phones? Because they were bolted to the car. You had a car, you had a phone the size of a home phone bolted to the floorboard of your car with a cord and everything, had all these little big buttons on it, had an antenna that stuck out the back windshield. I still remember when my parents got car phones installed in our cars. And I remember seeing it as a kid going, this is so cool. Because you're like, for the first time ever, you don't have to be at home or a building to call somebody or get a hold of somebody. But some of you, you may remember getting that first car phone, and you may also remember this that came with the car phone. There was the talk from your dad, the one that went like this. Son, we have car phones, but we don't use them because we pay by the minute. And it costs a lot of money. It's for emergencies only. Do you understand? Yes, sir. Like, you remember that? Like, you couldn't even use it. And it's amazing to think in just the past 20 years how far technology has come just in our phones. I mean, now we went from car phones to now we have cell and mobile phones that are with us 24/7. They're always there. We always have access. You have unlimited minutes. No more paying by the minute. Who would do that? Right? Like, you have unlimited minutes. So here's the thing. We have technology now all around us, so it forces us to ask some questions around how do we handle this technology that's ever-changing, ever-present, especially in our homes, our families, our parenting with our kids. How does it impact our faith? And that's why we're doing a series called TechWise Family. Because here's the thing with technology. When we look across technology, we can do amazing things with it. We can use technology to make us healthier or use it to get healthier. We can use it to make things easier, to communicate all over the place. We can use it for all kinds of amazing things in our life and in the lives of others. But we can also use technology in such a way that it wreaks havoc in our life or in the lives of others, right? Like this TV right here, we can use this TV today to put information and points up in this message, and over 2,000 people watch it, see it, they hear the truth. God is changing their lives because we're using this as a tool. Now, we could also take this same TV, and this year we could go watch 2,000 hours of TV with it, right? Yeah. My wife said, yeah, let's go, Netflix. So you could take the TV and do the same thing, but if you watch 2,000 hours of TV, I mean, it's going to wreak havoc in your life and your health and your relationships. And so technology can go either way. It can go to the positive or it can go to the negative in our life. And today, as we're in week two of this series, we're talking about the topic of focusing on character. And I know that it may seem kind of out of place when we're talking about technology and how do we use technology in our families. But if we don't first start with our character, our way of thinking, the way that we approach it, even from the inside out, like we have to start here and looking at our characters as we jump into this series. Because each of us, if we're honest, each of us have some type of character flaw. There's some type of crack in there. And each of us who have social media, you know that you have a character flaw in there somewhere back hidden behind some of your posts. Right? Like, this is the gym selfie? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you take the picture and it's like posted, it's like getting my sweat on, you know, and you're like hashtag gym life, hashtag workout, hashtag health. You got like all these things like that. But then what you don't say is like if you added like parentheses, like background, hashtag first time this year, hashtag I'm dying, you know, hashtag look at me, I worked out, hashtag did you, right? Like that's really what we're doing behind it. So we got these things that are inside of us that's behind sometimes our usage of technology, and we've got to come in and look at our lives and just go, okay, time out. If character is really important, like where do we develop that? Like, where am I developing and learning wisdom, courage, faith? Like, where's the platform for that? Do I download that app or is it somewhere else? And when we begin looking at character, we see that if we don't start somewhere in the character, then all of the habits that we put in place with our technology will just be short-term fixes. And today we're going to look at a passage of scripture found in Mark chapter 7. This is an account that happens with Jesus' life when he's there with his disciples. And we're going to look at quite a few verses here to give us the bigger context. And at the end of it, we're going to see the point that Jesus is getting down to that really does apply to our lives. So let's jump into Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 1. We can follow along right here. It says, "One day some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. Then they noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating." Now, some moms just said, "Amen. Wash your hands before you eat." You know, you have that conversation with your kids all the time. Did you wash your hands? And you may think, why is this in the Bible? Now, what Mark is going to do here in verse 3 is Mark is writing this account of Jesus' life to a Roman audience. So he's going to jump in now and kind of like step out and kind of go, "Hey guys, Romans who don't know Jewish history and stuff like that, here's some backstory." He's going to go, "The Jews, especially the Pharisees," Pharisees were some of the religious leaders here at the temple and the Jewish religion. He says, "Do not eat until they've poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient traditions." So they got some traditions and they're like, "We do this. That's why." So then he goes on and he continues to explain it. Similarly, I struggle with S words sometimes. And you get that word. "They don't eat anything from the market." Anyways, "they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of," you know, sorry, I actually practiced that word like 10 times because like I was like trying to say it and I kept practicing with so anyways, I'm going. "This is but one of their many traditions that they have clung to." So that tradition of washing the hands, they're clinging to it. You ever notice how we do this in life sometimes? Like that thing back here, you probably have that thing at work somewhere where you're like, "Why are we still doing this?" Somebody's like, "Oh, I don't know, we just always have. You know, it's like the thing we do. We just hang on to it." So this is what they're doing. So he goes on, he goes, as such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So there's like this whole big thing. Mark is like, this is kind of a bigger deal than what it actually seems like right here. So there's the context for it. Now, what this does is it prompts a question from the Pharisees to Jesus in verse 5. They're going to come to Jesus and say, "So the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law asked him, 'Why don't your disciples follow the age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony.'" Like, this is probably like the modern-day equivalent of the person who passes the hand sanitizer around the table. Like, "You didn't sanitize, man? Seriously? You're going to eat without that?" So they come in this. Now, here's the important thing before we go on. It may seem like it's a good question to ask. And if you zoom back out and look at the bigger context, especially of the Gospels around Jesus' life, you would always see that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're always trying to ask some kind of question to accuse Jesus or to point out like, "See, ha ha, we caught you, you're wrong. That's not true. You can't say that." Like, this is what they're always trying to do. So Jesus, knowing their hearts, knowing where they're going, is going to speak pretty strongly to them, starting in verse 6. It says, "Jesus replied, 'You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" He goes on to say, "Their worship is a farce." Fighting words, man. It's getting real. And he says, this is where it gets important right here. "They teach man-made ideas as commands from God." Listen to verse 8. Jesus then responds to him and says, "For you," talking to the Pharisees, "ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition." See, this is where this starts to hit in. This is where it becomes a bigger deal. We're taking ancient traditions, things that we've always held on to, things we've always done, and they're trying to bring it forward, elevate it up to the same point of what God has said. Because God didn't have all the commands of cupped hands, do all this stuff, do these things like that. Like, this is their ancient traditions, not the God commands. And Jesus is saying, "Listen, you're taking your ancient traditions, human traditions, you're elevating them to the level of God's commands or higher and placing this burden on the people." He goes on to give an example, and then in verse 14, we're going to see what Jesus does. He then called the crowd to come and hear. So all the people who are like watching all this, he brings them all in. He says, hey guys, listen up. All of you listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. So remember, they're talking about food, dirty hands, eating food. The Pharisees are saying that food, you ate with dirty hands. You're like a total defiled person. You're full of sin, everything like that, because you ate the food that way. He says, you are defiled by what comes from your heart. So Jesus just, drops this bomb right here. And then he walks away from the crowd. And in verse 17, it says, then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd. So for all of you introverts at our campuses, here's your Bible verse to quote to everybody when you just say, I'm out, I'm leaving, right here. He went away from the crowd. And his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. So a parable is a story used to illustrate this point. And Jesus says, don't you understand either? He's talking to like his core group of disciples, right? He's like, don't you understand either? Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart unless it's fried from the South. I don't know. Maybe it does at some point there. He says, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. It's kind of graphic, right? Like, this is the classic foundation for the children's book, Everyone Poops. Right here. It's from Jesus. See, everything leads back to Jesus. And then he says, and then he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. See, Jesus comes down to this point. What he's trying to get down to is, it's what's on the inside that defiles you. For, he continues and says, from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. He's got kind of a list, and maybe yours isn't on that list, but we all got something in there somewhere that's rooted to it. And he says, all these vile things come from where? Within. They are what defile you. So here's where this all comes down. Jesus is getting down to this point to say the Pharisees are so focused on the outward behavior. Did you wash your hands? We got an ancient tradition. Did you do? And so often when we look at our lives and we come into something, even with technology, we're going, what did I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What did I do? What did I do? What I need to do? We're so focused on the behavior, but what Jesus is trying to do is say, stop for a second. The first focus isn't on the behavior. The first focus is on the heart. Because following Jesus, listen to this, following Jesus is not about behavior modification. Let me say it again. Following Jesus is not about behavior modification. Following Jesus is about heart transformation. See, if I start here and I'm focused on what I'm doing, if I'm focused on the behavior, it's just a short-term, temporary fix. Because how many times do we see, or you may even know people, they're like, I'm going for this. I'm going to get healthier. I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to do this. I mean, how many celebrities or sports people do we see? They make a ton of money, but then what happens is later they're bankrupt. Like, it seems like everything's just fixed with this, and then later everything is bankrupt. And I would be willing to bet and come back and say it's because of this. Somewhere in here, their behavior never changed because their heart never changed. See, following Jesus, we first come to Jesus, and we have to look at the things that are inside of our heart, because the problem is not with the technology. This is not the problem. The problem is our heart that leads to the habits with the technology. And if we're going to change the habits, we got to change the heart. So you have to change your heart to change your habits. Change your heart to change your habits. And this is why Jesus brings it back to the heart. And I think that this is so important for us to understand, because if we are going to have tech-wise families and tech-wise lives, we have to go to the root issue. The root issue is not the technology. The root issue is inside. It's in the heart. And the heart then directs the usage of the technology. But there is a plan and a role that family and relationships will play in the changing of our hearts. And so we want to try and see, where does this tech character and family, these relationships, all kind of come in to help us focus on our character? So let's start and try and illustrate it a little bit like this. Let's put up a picture here of little Johnny. Everybody say hi to little Johnny right here. Here he is. There's little Johnny. Little Johnny is, let's call him about a sixth grade boy. Little Johnny right here is surrounded by technology just as we are as adults. So you could actually put yourself as an adult right here, and this is you. This is us right here. Johnny's got a phone because, you know, all the cool kids got a phone. Johnny has a tablet, and he's got the cool carrying case. You know, it's indestructible for that tablet. Johnny has a computer because, well, he's got to do homework now on a computer. You know what? Johnny goes to school, and at schools now, they're giving them Chromebooks to use. So Johnny's even got technology right there at school. And then Johnny has a TV. And this doesn't even include all the gaming devices and things that you can use within all of this technology. See, Johnny is surrounded by a device circle, just as we are. Each and every one of us are surrounded by technology. And this technology that's right here that's represented, I mean, this is some amazing stuff. Like, you think about what we can do with this. You think about what you can use it for to make your life easier, communicate with. I FaceTime with my parents. They're 3,000 miles away, and they get to see our kids. I mean, it's amazing what we can do here with technology. And technology, though, the important thing we have to understand is that technology at its best, technology right here, this device circle, at its best is neutral at forming character. Get it? It's neutral at forming the character of Johnny. But oftentimes, technology, I would say, is not at its best. Again, because we're not at our best. See, we're not at our best, which means we got something inside of us that's now causing the technology to be used for something that is not forming our character maybe in the way that God intended our character to go. I think about this device circle. So you think about this as parents. I mean, we're all guilty of this. If you're a parent, how many times have you been in a restaurant and your baby's like crying? You're like, watch this. You're like, oh my gosh, I just need you to be quiet so I can eat this bread. We haven't even gotten to order yet. You know, like, this happens. You think about this. How many times have you seen, I laugh about this every time I see it. You know, like the 8-year-old in the mall that's riding the toddler stroller and their knees are like this and they're holding the tablet and they're just like zoned in because mom was like, oh my gosh, don't talk to me anymore. No, we're not buying that. Just get on here. You know? And then at home, how many times I've done this before? It's like, all right, y'all, I got to do some work. Frozen is going on. Hit play. You know, it's Paw Patrol's on the roll. Here we go, baby, right now. And we what can happen is with technology, this circle now can become our babysitter. And here's the important thing in our homes and as parents we have to understand is if this is becoming our circle, if our kids are getting more time with technology than they are with us, then this technology is becoming a distraction from the greatest human work that we could ever invest in and give our lives to, and that is the shaping of someone's character. And as a parent, that is the shaping of the character of our kids. See, I love what the author of TechWise Family says about family. He says that family is about the forming of persons. See, God's primary platform for the shaping and forming of our character from creation is right there in the home. It's in the family. It's why we started off the series and Pastor Andy talked about Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he went back to God saying to the nation of Israel, this is what's most important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Then Moses goes on to write and he says, listen, parents, talk about all the commands and talk about all these things with your kids. When you walk, when you lie down, when you sleep, when you eat, like every time, you're always talking about it because family is about the forming of persons. And if we want to change our habits, we got to change our heart.
the character on the inside. And so when you think about technology in your home and in your family, how is technology impacting your relationships? Think about it. How is it impacting your relationship with your spouse? How is it impacting it with your kids? See, when you think about it, think about the depth. Think about where is technology maybe helping facilitate meaningful conversation, or where is it hindering meaningful conversation? And I know that not all of us live in single-family homes here at Echo. In fact, there's some of you that you're here and you're like, man, my home, like the family I grew up with, is like the furthest thing that like I'm trying to distance myself from because they formed me. They formed me with wounds and scars that I still have today. And I know that we have some family experiences where we're trying to step away from those and we're thinking, my family was nothing about God. They never talked about it. They never tried to. They never tried to instill me in faith. I just wish I had a parent who thought this way or tried to do this. And I want us to see that in God's design, he didn't just give us one family, but God gave us two families. See, we have a biological family, but then we also have a church family. That when we put our faith in Jesus, we may have had a broken biological family, but when we are following Jesus, when our faith is in him, Galatians, Paul writes and says that we are adopted as sons and daughters of God, that God becomes our heavenly father, oftentimes referring to other followers of Jesus as brothers and sisters in Christ. That there is this picture that we have a church family. So we have a biological family. We have a church family. And it's important for us to understand that we don't go to church. Listen, we do not go to church. The building is not the church. We have three campuses, three locations across the South Bay, and those locations are not the church because we don't go to church. Listen, because we are the church. The church is the people. The church is the people who are here unified collectively together by faith in Jesus, all coming, all saying, I'm broken, I got wounds, I got scars, I got baggage, I got all this, and we're all coming, and we're coming to Jesus, experiencing grace, change in our lives, that we're seeking out heart transformation. We're not here just to change behavior. We want to help one another, support one another to grow in our faith to become more like Jesus because God has plans for each and every one of us. There is a purpose for all of us. There's a reason he's put us here, and that stepping together with the family of God begins to refine and shape the character in us. But listen, if we're not careful, just like technology in the home can distract parents and brothers and sisters within the family, within the home, from being able to pay attention to the most deep work, the shaping of character, so in the church, technology can become a barrier. It can become a barrier to our faith. You see, what can happen for us is our technology becomes a screen that we can hide behind. It becomes a screen with which we dictate the image that we want everybody else, even in our church, to see. It becomes a screen with which we begin to distance ourselves from people around us. Because we are here and we're using it to cover something here. And then we begin to wonder why our relationships feel like they lack meaning and we don't have deep, meaningful relationships. And the reason that we begin to even feel that is because we were created for relationship in the beginning and we were created for deeper relationships. And intimacy is needed for deep relationships. And intimacy is not just some kind of a sexual word. It is a depth in a relationship where somebody is real. And intimacy requires proximity. Do you get it? You have to be close to somebody, which means that sometimes we have to put down the screen that is dividing us and be willing to come and say, listen, this is who I am. I am being real with you. And it's when we get real with one another that we can begin to be part of God's bigger story of transforming our hearts to make us more like Jesus because we stepped into each other's lives and we put down the screen. So maybe today, some of you, you're hiding behind some type of image and you will stay stuck there because everything else is about portraying this behavior and not getting into the heart. And it's not until you get to the heart that you'll change anything else in your life. Jesus is all about transforming the heart. And our families, both biological and church, are there to help make us better. They're not there just to make us happy. They're there to help make us better. And you know what I find is every time I step around people, it begins to bring more out of my life, begins to refine my character. And you know what? I actually get more joy, more peace, more happiness. It's there because I got less junk that I'm carrying, less that I'm trying to cover up. And I think it's important for us to come back, and I want us to look back at little Johnny again and come back to him. See, we already know he's surrounded by technology just as we are. But what little Johnny needs is he needs some key relationships in his life. He needs some relationships that are going to circle around him and they're going to model following Jesus for him. He needs some people who are going to speak into him about being successful, about clearing relationships, about how to communicate. Like, Johnny needs some people who are going to focus on what's inside of him and speak into him. Johnny needs a mom and a dad. And I know that in some of our families here at Echo, this may not be the picture of your family. But parents, no one has more potential than you to influence your kid. Nobody. Johnny needs a mom and a dad. He needs more than just mom and dad. He needs maybe an Echo student leader. Parents, you got to widen the circle of influence around your kid. Johnny needs a family friend who's part of the family, or his friends in the family, somebody who's ahead of him, older, just to even be around. Because you know what happens when you just get around people when they're older? You pick up on so much from their life. Johnny needs a teacher who can be part of this. And you could fill in any of these with other people. But the important thing is, and even studies say, is that if a child can grow up having five relationships or more around them that are modeling Jesus, teaching for them, being an example, investing in their life, the likelihood of their success, the likelihood of them continuing to follow Jesus dramatically increases because they have a circle of people around them. Now, this is what gets cool. Think about technology again with this circle. We all know the technology is there. But when this circle of relationships is there, technology can be used as a tool to bring about character and faith formation. Did you know with our Echo Kids at Parents, you can download an app called the Parent Q app where you can actually watch the videos of what your kids are seeing in their rooms on Sundays. You can watch it during the week. Use that 5-minute video to inspire a conversation about Jesus in your home. Technology can be used to now form character in the hands of strategic adults who use it in this way. An Echo student leader, this happens all the time. Here at Echo Students, with our teenagers in our church, they use texting all the time. They're messaging back and forth with students. They're messaging with them, hey, I'm praying for you today. Hey, I know you got that final. Students are like, hey, I got this question about this. I got this doubt. Hey, I'm following up with you. And they can be in communication, again, helping widen the circle and using technology to do it. But we have to be intentional with our technology usage and parents strategic with who's around us or around our kid. Think about this as well. This also applies to us as adults. See, you know, it's not just something for kids. But for adults, we have to think about who is in our circle around us. If you're married, you have a spouse that's there. They're in your circle. Maybe you got a friend who's in your circle, a mentor who's there. Maybe you have a parent who's also there. You got a Echo group leader who's there with you. And so you have a circle of people around you. And you know what Scripture says about this? Scripture says in Proverbs 13:20, it says, walk with the wise and you will be wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Scripture speaks so much to who are these people that we have around us. In fact, there's a great book called The Compound Effect written by Darren Hardy, and he references several studies that actually go back, and they did studies on this, and they called the five people around you your reference group. That over time, your association with your reference group is who you will become. It's who slowly over time they are guiding the steps and path of your life. So you have to come back and think, are the people that are most around me, am I walking with wise so I'm becoming wise? Are they shaping me in the direction in which God is asking me to go? Are they changing and shaping my character for the better or not? Because these people will influence our lives. And I think about this in my own life. And I look at this circle like this and I think, for me, it has been from the time I was a child to even now the relationships around me that have shaped me and formed me into the person, the dad, the husband, the pastor that I am. I think back to my parents, and I actually thought about this because next weekend starts a little thing. Anybody remember what it's called? It's football season. I'm really disappointed right now that nobody knows that. So next week, football kicks off, week one, and it made me think about this, and I started laughing. See, when I grew up, we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night church, and they were all different, and you went to all of them. So as a kid, I never watched a full football game. Because we were at church here, we watched it after lunch, or we went night and we watched the second half. And I grew up East Coast, so you know, those games are later in the night and everything like that, and you got to go to bed. I was 21 before I finished a full football game. And, but here's the thing that I thought about. Even on Super Bowl Sunday, we went to Sunday night church. I had never even seen the first half of the Super Bowl until one day I went to a church and they didn't have Sunday night services, and I was like, wow, this game is really long. See, but here's what I get to with this. My parents made decisions for our family. And based on their decisions for our family, I never have ever questioned which one's more important, God and church or football. Never have. Do we skip that to do this? Which one? Church was always the priority. They modeled it, and it shaped me. I think about my wife. My wife is pretty amazing. She has helped me over the past 11 years become much more the person who I am. And, with your spouse, they see everything. They see you and all your good, your bad, everything like that. My wife is a counselor too, which I think gives me a disadvantage slightly because I always try to bring things up and she's like, well, what about that? I'm like, oh gosh, I just got counsel juked. And so, but she's helped me tremendously in growing into who I am and how I can parent, how I can lead. I think about the friends and the mentors I've had who've invested in me and changed my faith. And they've been there when I'm walking out of sin issues or I'm trying to grow in areas of my life or asking questions about faith and leadership. I mean, these people have shaped me tremendously. And I can't imagine where I would be without any of them around me. See, this gets so important because this is exactly what Solomon writes about in Proverbs 27:17. When he says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Do you get it? Like the relationships are here to make one another better. That's why the deepest human work in our home, starting in our homes and even into our church, is sharpening and making one another better. That God designed us to be part of helping one another discover his purposes and understand his character in our lives. And God cares more about our heart than anything else. And we believe that relationships are so key to this that we say that life change happens within the context of healthy relationships. That life change happens for us when we get around healthy relationships who are speaking into us, investing in our lives, and it's one of the reasons why we have echo groups. You hear us talk about it all the time. It's because what we are trying to do as a church is facilitate a way to help people get into healthy relationships that can then result in life change. Because if we're trying to change our heart, we're trying to beg over here and ask God, but I never invite somebody else into it. I'm trying to do it all on my own. And more likely than not, nothing will change, or it won't change at the rate at which it could if I invited somebody else in to say, will you help me pursue God? I'm willing to ask that question. And for us, when it comes down to technology, we can never let technology become the barrier that keeps us from healthy relationships. See, our habits come from our heart. Our actions start on the inside. So if we're going to begin to be tech wise, we're going to begin to look at our character, our anything in our life, we have to start at a heart level. And that heart transformation, that change in our heart, then goes forward into our habits and into our actions. But along the way, God designed us to be part of that process. He designed our homes and our church families to be there with us. And sometimes I think it's hard for us to always keep focused on character. And I think one of the things that's always helped me is to try and keep the end in mind. So we try to keep the end in mind, like, where am I going? What do I want to be? What really matters when my kids grow up or when I retire or when I'm like 80? What am I doing with my wife? Do we still like each other? I certainly hope so. But there's something that changes when we keep that end in mind. And for us in life to focus on character and to really see what's most important, I think about this. 100 years from now, nothing else matters except for your relationship with God. That 100 years from now, it won't be how far you climbed in the corporate ladder. It won't be how many followers you had on Instagram. For your kids, it won't be where they went to college. It won't be it won't be what they did or what sport they played. It's like all these different things. 100 years from now, these things won't matter. Now, these are good things. Don't hear me wrong. Don't hear me say, like, you can't do any of these things. These are bad. No, these are good. But 100 years from now, these won't matter. Because the only thing that matters for us and for our kid is, where are they at with God? And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." You see, God would look at us and he would know our heart is dirty. Remember, Jesus said, like, there's some stuff inside there that defiles us. That's called sin. It's the stuff that comes out. All of us have it. It's all there. But God would look at us and it says, God so loved the world that even when he looked in the midst of the brokenness, the dirt, the defilement that was there, he would give his one and only son, talking about Jesus. And Jesus would come down to this earth. He would live the perfect life. So he would be the one who has the clean heart. He would be the one who would live a perfect, sinless life, so that when he would go to a cross, he would stretch out his arms and he would die on the cross to take on the sins of the world, so that we might have a change in our hearts. See, we become clean because Jesus became dirty on the cross. He took on the sin, he took on the dirt, and he gave us grace and forgiveness, changing and transforming our heart and life. And John 3:16 continues saying that whoever believes in him, see, God designed us and created us for relationship with him and relationship with others. And if we want to experience heart transformation and change in the beginning, it starts with that relationship. It starts with that faith, that belief, pointing into Jesus and saying, God, I'm starting with you. You start changing me and bring other people along. I'm going to continue to follow you and trust you. And it says that they would not perish but have eternal life. You know that right now, relationship with God begins to bring heart transformation and change today. But then throughout our lifetime, we continue to grow, continue to progress. God is continuing to change our hearts, growing and refining our character. And even 100 years from now, the promise is there's eternal life. So it's not just now or then, it's now and then. And it starts right here with Jesus. So listen, it's not about, I got to do. It's about come to Jesus and start here. So maybe some of you today, this is your spot. If you're going to get tech-wise, you're going to grow in your life, you're going to kick that addiction, you're going to go wherever, you got to start with, who is Jesus, and have you put your faith in Jesus? Maybe today it's just to start with that prayer to say, God, I'm coming to you. Jesus, I need you to take my sin today. I'm trusting in you. Would you start to change my heart? I'll do what you say, and I'll follow you. And we pray it from our heart, and we begin to commit to following Jesus today. And then for the rest of us, when we're following Jesus, now is the time we take the steps to look at the inside and to ask, who are the people around us that are helping refine and grow our character? Got to change your heart to change your habits. And life change happens in the context of relationships. Will you pray with me? God, today, I pray for everyone at all of our campuses that as we come here, that some of us are still processing and questioning where we're at with you and putting our faith in you for the very first time. God, I pray that you would begin to bring heart transformation into our lives, that you would bring change that is there, that changes the inside to change the outside. God, and I pray that you would help us to look at our lives and to ask, who is it that is around us that is influencing us and shaping our character? God, help us to focus on character. Help us to look to you. God, help us to be more like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.